From NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. President Obama is urging senators to keep at it as they wrangle over a financial overhaul bill. As NPR's Scott Horsley reports from the White House, the president says he's deeply disappointed that a proposed rewrite of the nation's financial regulations failed to overcome a Republican roadblock.
White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says he expects the Senate to vote again on the proposed financial overhaul within a matter of days. Democrats have to win only a single Republican senator's vote to move forward with the measure, and Gibbs points to polls showing the public strongly in favor of tougher Wall Street regulations.
I don't think it's a tenable political position for the Republicans to be in, to continue to say the rules of the road we have for Wall Street should be as they were when the economy collapsed and nearly ruined everybody.
Republicans argue blocking debate on new financial rules doesn't mean they want to keep the old ones, but they do oppose some parts of the overhaul, which would beef up consumer protection, regulate derivatives, and give the government power to break up big, risky financial firms. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
Senate lawmakers are hearing from the CEO of Goldman Sachs today as the Wall Street firm fights fraud charges. Lloyd Blankfein will be testifying before a Senate subcommittee amid accusations that Goldman Sachs strategically earned billions of dollars during the nation's housing meltdown at the expense of its clients. Michigan Democrat Carl Levin says the firm was wrong to sell securities without telling buyers that a key client was betting on them to fail.
They've misled the country, I believe, and they were not fair to their customers.
In prepared testimony, Blankfein says Goldman Sachs did not bet against its clients. Former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega is in France today, where he's facing charges of money laundering. As NPR's Greg Allen reports, Noriega left a Florida prison after 2 decades in U.S. custody.
Noriega completed his sentence for drug trafficking charges in 2007, but continued to be held in federal prison in Miami while he fought his extradition to France, where he's wanted on money laundering charges. He was held in the U.S. as a prisoner of war, and because of that, Noriega's lawyers contended that under the Geneva Convention, he should be returned to his home country, Panama. That argument was rejected by an appeals court, and last month the Supreme Court declined to hear his case, clearing the way for the extradition. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton signed a warrant allowing the extradition to go forward. Shortly afterward, Noriega was reportedly led, shackled, aboard an Air France jet bound for Paris. Noriega is a former general and CIA informant who ruled Panama from the early 1980s until he was captured by the U.S. military during the invasion in 1990. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
President Obama heads to Iowa today. That's where he'll be talking up the U.S. economy and jobs and his efforts to improve things. This is NPR News from Washington. The deadly explosion at a West Virginia coal mine is being looked at today on Capitol Hill. Senate lawmakers are examining ways to improve mine safety following the deaths of 29 workers at the Upper Big Branch mine on April 5th. Officials say the CEO of Massey Energy, Don Blankenship, will not be at the hearing, nor will senators be focusing on the specific cause of that blast. Kyrgyzstan's new interim government wants the nation's deposed president to return to his country and face charges in the killing of 85 protesters earlier this month. As NPR's David Green reports, the protesters were shot as they rallied in the capital, Bishkek, demanding the president's resignation.
The fragile new government in Kyrgyzstan is charging ousted President Kurmanbek Bakiev with mass killing and hoping to extradite him from Belarus, where he's taken refuge. Bakiev, for his part, insists he's still Kyrgyzstan's elected president. He's called the new government a gang of imposters, but said he's not planning to return to try to lead his country. As for that night of violence this month, when at least 85 people were shot by security forces, Bakiev said the truth was his offices were being targeted by armed opposition supporters. There's no word yet from Belarus on whether they'd allow Bakiev to be extradited. The ousted president has also suggested Russia played a role in his ouster. Russian leaders, he said, were angry that he allowed a U.S. airbase to continue operating in Kyrgyzstan. Russian leaders have denied any involvement. David Green, NPR News, Moscow.
A teacher strike in Southern California is over. A deal was reached late last night on a 3-year contract in Orange County. That's where teachers in the Capistrano Unified School District had been walking the picket line since last Thursday. Union officials say it took 32 hours of closed-door talks. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.